Hey, I do it all, man. Catch me on the web. All right, before we start, we got to take care of a little bit of business because, you know, you never know how long you're going to live in this life. I just want to get a picture of you guys and put it on Facebook tonight.
We can give your number out, too.
Yeah, would you like my number? For all that want to text me during the preaching, my number is 33... Man, I can't even get it in two groups. All right, that side's going to heaven. This side's going to hell. I think. Oh, now they look confusing now. Anyway, let me tell you just a little bit about what's going on. I know this is going to be a great Bible conference. It all depends on how they start out. And so I'm driving out of town, and a state trooper's got all the traffic slowed down, and he ain't even doing the speed limit. So, you know, being the brave soul that I am, I said, well, I'm not intimidated by a police. So I got to 55 miles an hour, which was the speed limit. He turns his blue lights on. I pull back a minute, and I said, he certainly wasn't talking to me. Well, I drove another 10 feet past him, and he pulled me right over. And it's an Alabama state trooper. And I could tell he was an Auburn fan right from the get-go. You know, I mean, he just had a bad attitude, you know, and I'm thinking, no, state trooper, I'm not kidding you. You can ask my wife. There's a few things I exaggerate about. This is not an exaggeration. He was ranting. He didn't even ask to look at my driver's license. He said, you didn't see my blue light? Yes, but if I'd have been doing something illegal, it would have meant something to me. And he said, you were speeding. I said, how can I be speeding at a 55 doing 55 in a 55? That complexed him. That was the second hint he's an Auburn guy right there. I mean, that was truly a little bit of a problem there. And so anyway, I'm getting there. And I mean, he's red-faced. He is almost ready to yank off his hat and stomp it down. And he saw the sign on the back of my truck that says, save on gas, ask me how. He said, now you know how you can save on gas? Do 50 miles an hour. I will when it's 50 miles. Boy, he was stewed. I thought that was bad. So we talked about that for about 45 minutes, and we get up there and start eating lunch. And I asked my wife to pay the bill. She said, I don't have any money. I said, I don't have any money either. I hope they're going to pay us at the conference. Otherwise, we're going to starve to death. Use this debit card. She loses it. Now listen, I didn't make her eat the apple. But for 20 minutes, I yelled pretty good. It was our only source of income. Now we're in a car. State troopers are looking for me. And the place I eat, there are 12 sheriffs surrounding me. I'm like, that word got out fast. I'm telling you, and I thought, all this hassle and stuff, I said, it's going to be a great Bible conference. See, when I get to a Bible conference, nothing happened. The preaching stinks. So I know tonight it's going to be good. How long we got? 40 minutes? 35? 45? 30 plus 40. That's about right. You know, guys, listen, I really appreciate being here. I got here and I haven't felt good. Me and Jack Lockhart are trying to figure out who's going to go to heaven first. He tried to beat me, but I'm cutting his corners pretty quick. He went and had a stent put in. I'm not going to have one put in. I'm just going to let it explode. You know, I think that would be interesting. Now, if I do pass out up here, let the young girl start CPR. But guys, listen to me. After 2 minutes, if they don't do anything, knock them on and do whatever you can, okay? I want to turn to Hebrews. You can text me while preaching. I'm skilled at this. If you haven't joined me on Facebook, come be my friend. I'd love for you to be my friend on Facebook and fellowship with you. And we have a live webcast, and we are getting people, I mean, from all over. I mean, it is amazing how many people are joining the live webcast. And you can get that by gracebiblelive.org. And it's not to take away from any churches. If you got a church, please attend the church. But if you're sick or down or you're blue or you don't like your preacher and he doesn't look quite as good as me, join us. I'm joking. That went over like a lead brick. Because you know what? I've determined all grace preachers look the same. You know, we're all losing our hair and our teeth. You know, it's kind of fun. I thought about 30 years. I've been in Montgomery 23 years. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 9. I want to talk to you about something that just happened recently. My mother-in-law died. And, you know, I love the comfort of the people in the Grace Movement. They sent cards and they were all beautiful and we appreciate them. So I want to thank you right up front, the kindness people shared. Miss Holloway passed away, and I thought about death, how we all look at it. And some of the posts on Facebook and people were like, oh, I'm so sorry. Well, guys, listen, here's the problem. That's the hope. I think sometimes we miss the hope. You know, we want to go in the rapture. Who cares? You got it? It didn't matter to Paul. You say, I want to follow the Apostle Paul. Paul didn't say, oh, I hope I go in the rapture. I hope I go in the rapture. He told you there was going to be a rapture and he was going to be in it. You got it? That's the hope. The hope is leaving this flesh and blood behind. But you leave the flesh and blood behind, you die. That's the problem with this. Real debate. I can't believe this crowd on Thursday night. What did you do? That Italian dinner was fantastic, was it not? Oh yeah, brother. I draw the big crowds, you know. Trust me on that. Anyway, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. That is, hey, the death is what we're all facing. That's the dispel. We want to leave these bodies. We want to be with the Lord. We want to be in the comfort of His care. Now, I'm not one of those that believe you die and go right up into heaven. So there's some grace preacher. I don't believe that. I believe you fall asleep and you're in there until the rapture comes and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Whatever you believe, it doesn't matter to me. That is not the point of this sermon. The point of this sermon is, it is appointed unto men once to die. And I looked at a picture of all the grace preachers at Brother Moore's funeral, and I looked at the grace preacher when even Steve Gottberg was standing with us. We all had hair, we were all skinny and good looking. Then I look at that photograph, and there's only two people got hair in that photograph. I was one of them. But you couldn't tell because mine's turning gray and it just reflected out. We're getting older, and that's happening to all of us. And you know what? I'm not running it away from it. I'm embracing it. I'm looking forward to that day, whether it's a rapture or a death. And see, the people, they don't understand it. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. You can't get here in these bodies. You've got to dispose of the body. Well, I got some good news. Dispose of Mrs. Holloway's. That's good news, isn't it? All the struggles of the flesh, all the things that you fight with yourself, all the things that you really are that by the person you are, that's what she put off. Miss Holloway wasn't a sweet person sometimes. She had a bad attitude sometimes. You ever get one of those? She ain't going to get one anymore. I know you think me and my dad has always had it great. We've had a few scuffs in our moments. You know why? This ripping, filthy flesh. You know, people walk around like they actually like being who they are. Hey, that's kind of amazing, isn't it? I mean, they walk around like, oh, I'm really something. I know. You know, they get their chicken breast all stuck out and they think they're something. But you know what? They're the same corrupt stuff that we're made out of and it's flesh. You know what's really fascinating about that? Is how people look at each other. Like, I'm better than you. I got your number. I was out in Jerry and Barb's church and I finally told the truth about me. I'm going to tell you the exact same truth. I want you to listen to me very carefully, and I mean it. I'm embarrassed of what I am. See, there are people in here that are pretty good. I'm not any good. I'm badder than most of y'all. I'm going to tell you the truth about me. I've snorted cocaine until my face was frozen. How about that? Yeah, when you see the drug addicts on the side of the road, I was one of them. I came from a good family. My dad's here. I became a homeless bum sleeping on the streets of Pensacola. I ain't kidding you guys. I literally begged food at the back of the Danny Dale restaurant on Cervantes. I went to sell my blood that day and I about passed out. And they said, we need to call an ambulance. You've only got a 4 blood count. We should have... I'm like dizzy like I am now. If I pass out, don't forget me. And they gave me 14 orange juices. For the first time in my life, I knocked on the back of a restaurant and said, I need food. I'd been in stinky clothes for 4 or 5 days. Something I never even told my dad. I want you to look at me really carefully because you don't even like me, really. You know what I really am? I'm a murderer. I've killed somebody. It got kind of quiet, didn't it? Oh, you can tell everybody. I don't care. I'm as guilty as the day is long. Knew I did it. And I'm ashamed of myself. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd have no hope. But I'm standing before you right now, right here, in the eyes of God, as righteous as His Son. So, well, Barry, you're not any good. I'm trying to tell you that. That's a fact. I'm not. I know you haven't done all those bad things. I'm an adulterer. I had a problem with women at one time. I love beautiful women. Unfortunately, they turned ugly overnight. I was a drunk. I sucked down more booze than you could probably even imagine. I went to LSU. I'm telling you, there's nothing good in LSU at all except the Richards. I love them. When I was at LSU campus, I went through a 4-day drunk. I don't even remember a single hour for 4 days. Totally black in my life. I'm a sure enough liar. Oh, I know many of you all are. How many here has filled out an IRS form? I know most of you guys fit that category. But it's really amazing to me how good we think we are. And we really brag about all the deals we're doing. And I find that most of the dealy-wheelies I get involved in, I blow. I appreciate Brother Moore preaching that Wednesday night, my salvation message. And I'm going to preach that in just a few minutes. I'm going to tell you what that man told me. And hopefully you'll listen to him through me. I'm not a channeler. A murderer, yes. Channeler, no. Do you know what? I've been forgiven. I've been totally, completely wiped clear. It's amazing. See, I didn't know that about you, Barry. Oh, it's something you really want to go around bragging about, huh? In 1 Corinthians 15, the problem is in verse 22. For as in Adam, all die. How many here are born onto Adam? Then you're going to die. You can't escape death. It's impossible. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen? Well, look at the problem here. Go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say therefore, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Well, some of us are going to be sleeping. Amen? Well, Miss Holloway's sleeping. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Had been raised, shall be raised. That's interesting pronoun usage, isn't it? Didn't say you were already in heaven, you're going to be raised. And we shall be changed. Listen, let me tell you, the hope is that resurrection. That hope is that getting out of the grave. The hope is the rapture. The hope is that. You can't get there by being good. You can't get there by being a non-murderer. You can't get there by not cussing. You can't get there by cleaning up your life. You can't get there by dressing a certain way. You can't get up there. You need a Savior who can get you out of the grave. And the only one that can do that is my Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's fascinating. Go to Mark chapter 12. I wish I felt good. I'm sorry. Steve, can you get me a little Coke or something with sugar in it? I don't know what's happening, but I don't want to pass out. I've never done that yet. Okay. Praise the Lord. Appreciate it, Phyllis. In Matthew chapter 12, you know what? I'd rather be caught preaching dying than dying to preach. Amen. Matthew chapter 12. Oh, pick whatever you want. I'm going to Matthew 12. Well, I was going to read Matthew chapter 12. Praise the Lord. Amen. But watch this. Okay, this is ridiculous. Brenda, you need to hem these pants up a little bit. Ever since I've had this heart dilly-willy, I have like clothes that go from 38 to 48. These are one of these 44s. But when you lose weight, then the legs, because you're not as fat, get long. See how I'm tripping on them? Is that ridiculous? That's ridiculous. I mean, and it ain't Brenda's fault. They spent one time. But I didn't know you shrunk high and low with that, but that's obviously what happens. I'm tripping up here. I don't know. This is really interesting preaching for me. I'm a little nervous from the crowd size. All I want to do is take up an offering with this bigger crowd. It's really weird. I'm restraining myself, though. Did I tell you Matthew or Mark? You're all both good, but be in Matthew chapter 12. 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. Now here's the thing. Jesus said, look, if you got good works, you know, let them come on. You know the problem with the people that he was talking with? Here's a hint. They're evil! Is it sugared?
Yeah.
A little bourbon would have been nice, but that's okay. Can't beg. That's a Tennessee drink. Now watch. Now he said, and listen very carefully to this. He said, he's talking about good trees bring forth good fruit, and evil trees bring forth evil fruit or corrupt fruit. Verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? There isn't anybody in the world that can speak good things. You all are all evil. The Pharisees, who were the prime example of God's leadership and whatever, they worked at it. They wrote and wrote and spoke and spoke and did all of that. And he calls them, Jesus Christ calls them, you generation of vipers, how that you are wicked, speak any good thing. You know why? There wasn't any good. There ain't any good today. There ain't any good yesterday. Oh, when Jesus walked around, the best on the planet. I'm telling you, the best. Were nothing but evil men. And he catches them. Verse 34 again. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Well, let me show you a little bit of problem with the heart. Go to Genesis chapter 6. I mean, this isn't dispensational, boys and girls. It has been a problem for a long time. And something new. God isn't all of a sudden discovering something new. You know what Paul did? Paul gave a way for murderers and filthy, wretched blasphemers to have a way out with the gospel of the grace of God. Well, there ain't a person that is in this room that is worth a gunpowder to blow them into hell. In Genesis chapter 6, remember they're out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaketh. Well, here's the problem. Verse 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, not just one, every imagination of the thought of his what? Okay, that was like a Methodist church. Let's pipe that up just a little bit. And that every imagination of the thought of his heart. Hey, how could they talk anything good? You know what's in their heart? Evil. Evil. You say, well, I won't sit next to Barry since I know he's a murderer. I told a couple that, and I was staying at their house that night. I ain't kidding you. They said, should we get him a hotel room? Amen? Ain't none good. Matthew, back to Matthew chapter 12. Mark if you want to. Optional. He said, O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil? And he's talking to the most religious people. You know, the average person must have been saying, this is what they should have been saying. Wow, they're evil. I mean, if they're evil, guess what? You understand? They didn't think like that. You see, the heart is the most amazing thing. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. And it will make you think you're good when you're flat and no good. I literally believe, growing up with my father, this was the gospel I heard from the churches we went to, and he'll tell you the same thing, I'm sure, that God would put your good on one side and bad on the other and weigh it out. That was good up until about 14 or 15. Then you know what starts happening, right? Okay, you got to get the animation of the eyes. You understand the problem, right? How many here have teenagers? How many wish they didn't have teenagers? Exactly. And there's no way that out of evil men can proceed anything good. They can't produce the fruit. And I thought about it, how I listened to Brother Moore preach. And he described the cross. And that's what I want to do in the last few minutes here. And that Wednesday night, it got to me. It laid a heart, an arrow right through my heart. I believe my job is to leave you a bloody mess. This is a two-edged sword, boys and girls. And it's only designed for one thing. It's to cut people's heads off. And in that fatal need, you gasp out and say, "Lord, save me." And so in the next few minutes, I'm going to swing the sword at your heads as hard as I can swing it. And I believe this King James Bible is a two-edged sword. Amen. And I'm not doing it for your hurt. I'm doing it for your recognition to understand that you're lost and you need to save it. And listen, let me tell you what. In just a few minutes, Brother Moore started preaching that night, and he says, "I want to describe you the cross." And he read out of Matthew 27. Turn to Matthew 27. Mark, if you want. Matthew 27. I want to start in verse 19. And when he had sat down, talking about Pilate and whatever, here. And when he had sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man." Now that's in contrast to what you just read in Matthew chapter 12 of all the religious leaders, which were what? Evil. This man's just. He is the only just person upon the earth. The rest of it, you know what Ecclesiastes says? There's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That's everybody. Except this one. He's just. That's fascinating. "And for I have suffered many things in this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus." Can you imagine the scene for a minute? There is the only just person on the planet Earth. And you know what they want to do? Crucify him. They don't like him. They represent everything they can't be. Everything they want to be but can't. Because of this evil force we have in Adam. All that we had become. So get rid of him. And you know what? They did. They literally beat him. Do you realize that they put a mask on him and then hit him in the face? They literally hit him in the face. And he said, "Son of man, prophesy. Tell us who's hitting you." You know who were doing those? People in the military. The governors. Army. You say, "Well, these would be upstanding young men." Yes, they would. We honor our army men. Amen? But they're the ones that would have been killing them. That's weird, isn't it? They beat him to no end. The Bible says they plowed furrows into his back. You know why? He couldn't get out of it. Go to Mark 14 for just a minute. Mark. Did I say Mark? Mark is right this time. Just checking. See, I believe that Jesus Christ didn't have to die on a cross. What he did have to do is die. And the reason I'm making this distinction is not to belittle the cross, because I think the cross was a very important part of it all. I mean, he had to die. But I want you to understand the whole thing in your mind. Listen to me very carefully. God made him to be sin for you. He didn't get made sin on the cross. It's in this garden that he becomes sin. Mark 14. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. What do you think that represented? That's you. Nevertheless, not what I will, but thou will be done. And obviously, he takes of the cup. From that moment, you know what he was? He was sin. He was going to die, whether it was the cross or whatever. He was going to die. Don't you understand? Death, he put death on him. There was no escape. He came obedient to the death of the cross. But the obedience was before they started. You understand? He had already had the sentence of death put on him. And you know why he was dying? Because if he doesn't die on that cross for your sins, you have no hope. You have no hope. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter what you muster up. Doesn't matter how good you get. Doesn't matter how many songs you can sing. All that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he didn't die for your sins. And so they take him out and they put the cross down. And they start to nail those sorry rascals. And they lay their hands down. And you know what they were doing? They were cussing and spitting into those Roman soldiers' face. And they start to pound the nails into the cross. And those people were saying, when I get off this cross, I'm going to kill you. And it came to the Lord Jesus Christ's time. He just laid out his arms. You know, the Bible says, as a lamb went to the slaughter, he never even opened his mouth. And they pounded him to that cross for filthy people like me. I'm telling you that Christ didn't die for the godly. He said in Romans chapter 5, Christ died for the ungodly. Well, that's me. I'm a filthy scoundrel. I'm no good. There's no hope without Jesus Christ for me. There'd be hope for maybe some of you, but not me. No way could I make it. I mean, there are people a lot better than me. I bet there's people in here that never even smoked dope. I smoked more marijuana. But I want you to tell me, the only time I got caught with marijuana, I got caught one time, it was with the preacher's daughter. I ain't kidding you, it was her marijuana. Dad really loved that moment in the Navy history, don't you? Dad, was that fun or what? Captain calls him in. Your son's a pothead, he's dealing. Yep, it's all true. I should have told that state trooper. Look, if you're mad about this, let me tell you a few other things. Yeah, that was my thought. But on the 24th of August, 1983, the day my mother-in-law died, 27 years ago, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I know exactly where I was, whom I trusted, and what He did for me. You see, guys, I don't have to fake being a Christian. I was made the righteousness of God. said, well, I don't like you, Barry. Hey, welcome, join the club. Stan Carlton, you want to give any? We got a club going. More than loving me, I want you to love my Savior for what He did for you. And as He got pounded to that cross, I was dying in His stead. The Bible says I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, folks, I can look in the mirror every day and realize if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd have no hope. I'd be standing here as lost as any man could be. There's nothing I could muster up good enough. You know, all of our righteousness were as filthy rags. But you are going to die. And you know what? That day will be as exciting for those that know the Lord as the rapture itself. And all of a sudden you will put off this flesh that you torment with, that you fool around with, and you will finally enjoy the comfort of the Lord. You know what? The Bible says there's no more tears, no more pain. All those things have been formally pushed away. And if they get to sing, are you all going to sing, I guess? Are they singing that? This next song, I really love, because God has the ability, even though you died with a voice, to get you out of that grave. That's incredible. And He will call your name if you're here as a believer. And you know what? If you're not here as a believer, you're going to bust hell wide open. And He's not going to call your name. He's not going to gather up the vocal winds to even utter your name. He's going to be glad that you're in hell because you rejected the greatest gift He could give this world, His Son, Jesus Christ. Steve.